For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Tommy John, just the best. Men and women love Tommy John, and I am a man, and my wife is a woman, and we love Tommy John, the best. I'm wearing them right now. Wear them every single day. They don't know it's the same pair. They dry, you know, I work out them, and they dry really fast.
Yeah, kind of swimming them.
I give a little, I jump in the pool with them, and then I hang them out, man. They got a no wedgie guarantee. They got dress shirts that stay tucked in. They got undershirts that stay tucked in. They have go anywhere apparel. I mean, it's just the best. The new Air collection for the ladies, quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, no visible panty line guaranteed. Backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee, right, Matt?
Yeah, hurry to TommyJohn.com/CarCast now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/CarCast for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/CarCast.
CarCast is brought to you by JB Weld, made in the USA. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for 50 years plus. We use it all over the place, home, garage. We use it here at the studio. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, and more. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. Get it on, man. And welcome to CarCast, man. It's the Motorator over there.
Hello.
Matt DeAndrea. Gray Galding is going to be joining us over the phone. He's a 21-year-old NASCAR driver. Came in second at Talladega just a little bit ago. So we'll talk to him and his interesting career. What's
he's a youngin.
Going on in your life?
Oh, man. because my BMW is broken, I've been driving as many press cars as possible. And got a GTR Track Edition.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And we got some cars on the docket. Ford Ranger, because I just want to see what a Ford Ranger is going to be like now that it's been gone for so long. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Acura NSX, McLaren 720S.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. McLaren, Acura.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But the Ranger is going to be interesting because it's, you know, obviously for the people. I keep calling it a mini truck, but I don't think it's a mini truck anymore. I just compared to, it's probably the size of an F-150 back in 2000.
Yeah, I want to thank folks for listening to Castrol CarCast over here, and I'll tell you more about some of our fine sponsors in a moment. But the Ranger commercials look pretty good with Cranston voicing them.
Yeah.
Is that an aluminum unibody truck?
I don't know if it is. On that truck. I don't know if it is. I'm going to break it all down, but they're sending the crew cab four-wheel drive kind of off-roady version of it. And we don't have here in the U.S. yet, but I guess Australia, New Zealand, they have a Ranger Raptor.
Wow.
Which,
now that's my... That's my cup of tea.
You're all over that.
I am, because I don't like big trucks. I never got them. When I was, you can find out, Max Pat, if the new Ranger's aluminum unibodied. I started off with trucks.
Yeah.
Like my first truck was a Mazda pickup truck, four cylinder.
Yeah, it's a mini truck.
Really mini. And it's like it was super simple. Like my foreman just said, you want to get from $7 to $8. Like, you want another dollar an hour. And I was like, yes, I do. And he's like, well, stop riding your motorcycle into the job with your tool bags around your neck.
Yeah.
And get a truck. You get a truck, give you another dollar an hour. And I found this Israeli brother's Ilya. And I can't remember his brother's name, but there's Israeli guys, and they just had this pile of crap Mazda pickup truck that was like never registered or never anything. And I just I bought it for like $800.
Yeah.
And I had to bump start it a lot. It actually pissed me off. I never really told you the story, but first off, the car was like never registered. I just drove around with expired tabs. Like I never put it in my name. I never, whatever. I just drove it. And it always started, the way it would start is like you'd turn the key and it'd go like, and you'd have to like bump it a lot of the time. Like I'd get out and push it and just jump in it, you know, drop it into second and bump it. The stick shift was
I like that it was a manual as well.
The stick shift was an eight ball.
Okay.
And the cranks were broken. So
for the windows.
Yeah, the windows. So you had to use like vice grips to get the windows up and down. And there was no bench seat. There were two dinette seats, like Naugahyde dinette. Like they pulled out the bench seat and put like two bucket seats, but they weren't from cars. In there, and it was a long bed, standard cab, and I drove that thing all over the place, but I had to bump it all the time. So you turn the key like Ranger aluminum hood fenders and tailgate steel pillars and bed. All right, so they're
probably a full frame car. The Ranger's got to be full frame,
I guess.
Right.
So then steel pillars or whatever. I don't know. I-beam suspension. So I drove the thing, and it was like, and I drove it for like a year, and at some point I'm like, I'm upgrading to a 79 Datsun.
Okay.
Like another long bed. That was my orange truck. Max Pat will probably find a picture somewhere. It's like an orange truck with a long bed, and I put a bed box on it that I bought. I found a bed box like in the recycler, but the locks were busted out, but I could still use it, you know, as a bed box. And that truck was like clean and pretty nice. The Mazda, I was going to sell it, and I put it like in the recycler or something, and you'd always get the Armenian guys who would try to buy it off you. They'd call you Wednesday night. There's my Datsun, my 79. Yeah. Datsun pickup truck and my Honda 404 I used to drive around all the time. And standing in front of my apartment building, my bathrobe.
You're a baller. You got a bike. You got a truck.
I got a robe. You take those bikes.
You got everything.
You take that bike and that truck and you cash out and you're at almost $1,000. And my robe... First off, no Corolla ever had a bathrobe.
I know, like, but look at that attitude. Look at the grin on that face.
Oh, I knew I was going to be a star.
It's a cocky young man right there.
There are certain things at the Corolla house that were considered like big ticket items. Like a bathrobe was a big, a bathrobe was for rich people. Rich people had bathrobes.
With or without the tie, because I don't think yours has the strap.
Mine doesn't have a tie. Bathrobes were for rich people.
Yeah.
Sleeping bags were for rich people. Now, not weird cloth, shitty ones, but like a real sleeping bag that you could go up to the mountains with, like down and like a mummy bag.
Expensive.
That was the thing. A jacket that had like down filling in it.
Yeah.
A basketball hoop. A dog.
With the net?
Either way, these were all considered.
Net.
They were considered like big ticket luxury items
that
we can afford. Somebody gave me a terry cloth bathrobe. You can see my arms kind of hanging out of it. Like they were too small. It was too small for me, but it didn't have a sash.
Have an extremely used robe on me.
Oh, it was free. I took that shit. And it didn't have a sash. They lost the sash. So I'd have to hold it closed, or I sometimes would use a dress belt. Which was simultaneously a formal and casual look. Like that's
with the dress belt, you could go out at night with that. you could wear that out.
I had like a reversible belt, you know.
Any fine Denny's that night with the robe and the belt.
So what pissed
you
me
switch
off?
Switch it from black to brown on the fly. Just flip it over.
What pissed me off about my Mazda is I sold it. So the Armenian guy comes and they call you on Wednesday night. Like, you have truck? Yes, I buy truck. You know, and you go, okay. And then they come by, and then you get in the truck, and he's like, follow me to my friend. He has a mechanic. He will look at it, and then we'll buy the truck. And it's all scam. You go down to, like, Victory and something in, like, deep North Hollywood. You go to this dicey place. It was, like, at night. Like, the mechanic guy, like, came out, and he's like, yeah, so let me see. You know, and he popped the hood, and it's his friends, like, Armenian, too. And then he puts on the stethoscope. and he like puts it down to the engine block and he fires it up and he's like, ooh, oh, that's not good. You know, and you're like, what's there? You hear the knock? You hear the duck, tick, 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 you know, the, you know, it's a Mazda with 1,000 million miles on it and it's old and it's whatever. And he's, I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's a rod bearing. That's a, it's a rod bearing. It's no good. You know, I'm like, okay. So you got a bad rod bearing, you know, and he's like, then I'll give you $400 because I have to, you know, to take the engine out.
Yeah,
the engine. I'll give you $400 for it. And I'm like, and I remember thinking, it probably has a bad rod bearing. Like, this guy's a mechanic and he's got a stethoscope and there's some kind of knock, 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 tick, tick, tick. But I can't take $350 for my pickup truck because I need it or something. I got to buy another pickup truck. And I just went, no. And I drove it around for like another few months, pushed it to start it all the time because I was like, and then I gave it to, I sold it to Umgad Abu Zamzam, my mechanical genius Egyptian friend. And like at a certain point, I like ran into him and he's like starting, it's starting right up, like running like a clock. And, and I'm like, what happened with the starter, the battery? Like, and he's like, that was just the timing. I just adjusted the distributor just a click and it works fine. And I was like, oh, great. I pushed it for a year.
For a year.
I guess.
Yeah, probably it's not pinging anymore, too, because he adjusted the timing and it wasn't a rod bearing. It was.
Yeah, either way.
You know,
either way.
Shitty gas and bad timing.
He bought it. He fixed it. He sold it to his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I then bought.
That fix took him 90 seconds.
Right. I then bought the Datsun pickup truck, and the Datsun pickup truck just had this weird sound on the freeway like the whole time, and I could never figure it out. And that was the clutch fan. It had a bad clutch fan. But I drove the wheels off of that bad boy. All right, let me tell you guys about Zycoat. Carcast brought to you by Zybar. For better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower underhood temperatures, Zybar is the ultimate. Thin, high-temperature coating reduces radiant heat. This stuff is by 90%. This stuff is the real deal, man. You learn more at Zycoat.com. Yes.
Speaking of mini trucks, my friend had a mini truck. We were in Arizona desert. It was a Nissan. It was a little bit later version of what you had, late 80s, early 90s. It was a white mini truck, but instead of flames painted on the side, it was a splash. Like it was water.
Oh, yeah,
it was white with a splash of water on it. And it was so bad. And he bought it. He was in a band and he hauled his stuff around. And big speakers.
Guys back in the day would drive around the Ford F-150 and 250s, and they'd show up with their fun and mud tires and Mickey Thompson blah blahs and their lift kits, and I was just like, I don't want to pay for gas.
Yeah,
I don't want to pay for a V8. I can load up. I would take.
We would stack stuff in this thing.
Mazda
stack.
I took that Datsun, man. I put a lumber rack on it, and I would. I one time when I was building a theater, stacked like 25 sheets of 3/4 ply like on top of that rack, and like the bumper would drag in the back, but it didn't matter. You just drop it into first gear and go.
This was a manual as well, and I remember he was in a band. He would have to haul around like his drummer stuff and the monitors and the big speakers and stuff. And I remember we were driving; it wasn't tied down right. When he hit the brakes, one of the monitors went through the back windshield and shattered that. But it overheated in the desert, and we were stranded out there. So we popped the hood and we stood on the bumper. We both pissed in the radiator.
You can't get too close.
You can't get too close because you'll burn the tip.
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful. And then we never flushed the radiator for like 3 years. And then he took it to a place to get an oil change, a radiator flush. The guy's like, there's something going on in the radiator. It just doesn't smell right.
Our kids will never enjoy car stories, man. I had car stories. I drove to Tijuana in a Mazda that broke down 3/4 of the way to Tijuana. We slept by the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people have no idea. You drive a car. You didn't know if it was going to work all the time. I borrowed my sister's car to go to Tijuana with, like, 5 guys in it. Like, a Dodge Dart, like, threw a rod, left it.
Yeah.
I came home, and I gave my sister $40. That's what the guy at the junkyard gave me. Yeah. I was like, I thought you got $50 when you junked a car. He's like,
I don't
know. No, $40. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Look, nowadays you open the hood, you can't do anything.
No, but you don't need to do anything because everything just works.
Everything kind of works.
Well, there's still like the flat tire. But other than that, that's about it. And then you just call AAA or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So the Ranger is cool, and the Ranger is that was the truck that when a guy pulled up onto the job site in a new Ranger, oh, that guy had arrived, man.
He was
a winner. If he had a Ranger, my foreman named Jan they had a nice blue. They had a lightish medium, sort of medium blue in that Ranger, and extendo cab, and it was a four-wheel drive, and it was like, oh, V6, sweet ride.
Yeah.
Had a good sound to it. It's good. And I always thought the Ranger was like the best looking of the four trucks.
Yeah. I remember this cute blonde girl had a crush on in high school, and she came to school once with a new Ranger. It was like yellow crew cab manual. I'm like, what's that? It's like, I'm like, where'd you get that? Money bags?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know, divorced parents, you know. Guilty dad bought it for me. They're one of those stories.
There weren't a whole lot of new cars floating around North Hollywood High, but there were the kids who lived up in the hills, the Jewish kids that had some money, they would get to school in a car. The rest of us would just walk or moped it or whatever. I didn't even...
Hitch a ride. You got to find a buddy that's got a car, and he's got to pick up three of his friends on the way to school every day.
Well, again...
We did a lot of that.
A bathrobe was a bridge too far for the Corollas, so I don't think a car was in the cards, as they say. So the Porsche, Max Pat, I think my phone's in the entry hall there, but I took a few pictures of the Porsche. We're taking apart the front end. Sean has removed a couple of pickup mounting points for the suspension. As you guys know, the suspension was way off in that car. The front end, I don't know the front end, the front, I don't know, 30 inches of the car was replaced. The rear 24 inches of the car was replaced. Like literally just cut the tub.
Yeah, up to the top of the shock tower mounts, you know,
in the front and in the back, I can't remember where the seam is, but it's a good 20, 22 inches of the back.
Yeah.
And a good 28 inches to 30 inches in the front.
Yeah.
It's a lot. The car took a lot of abuse. And so we are relocating a spot or two on it, pickup points, and taking all the suspension apart. And some of the stuff has some damage, and Sean's welding it and repairing it and grinding it. You know, we're going to wire brush it and clean it up and coat it and put it back on and all that. But the front end is pretty completely taken apart. There's parts all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's on the ground. The thing that's interesting about that car is every time the body work comes off, all I do is stare at those cannons that lift the car up. The pneumatic the hydraulic.
I forgot that I even had those.
All I can think of is how much weight those things add to the car and how I'll never use them.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're not going to use them.
You're not going to use them. Back in the day, you'd come in, you'd put the air hose in the bib that was like on the top of the car. You'd put the air hose on, you flip the switch, and the car would just pop up.
Right.
You know who pioneered that?
No. Wait. Hold on a minute.
I think you're going to know.
We had this discussion.
I feel like we've had every discussion.
Yeah.
But I space them out just long enough for you to be dumb. That's what I do with discussions. I believe Pete Brock in the Daytona were the first to utilize the lifts, the hydraulic lift in a race car. Now, it definitely makes sense that endurance racing, you know, changing tire, coming in, tire change, brake change, you know what I mean? They all utilized it later on. But I think that Daytona, as I recall, was the first to implement it. Now, again, that's a very I don't know. Sounds about right for Pete Brock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And those guys over there,
I was
going to
say probably something that like a Brock or a Gurney worked on.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. Yeah, maybe it was a Gurney thing. Damn it. I think it was a Brock
Gurney
thing.
Gurney popped into my head initially.
It could have been. Maybe it was a Gurney thing. You think about it, there was none of that before the mid-60s,
yeah,
right? And right. So those guys all, like when Brock was at the height of his powers with Shelby and right. the Daytona and everything, that was like 64.
And you know those guys were the innovators at the time, those guys.
Right. I don't know what those air, I think it'd be air jack. Would they call air jacks? No?
Yeah. I think so, but I think now if you start Googling air jack, you're going to come up with something else.
I don't know, innovator of the... Yeah. Automotive air jack or pit stop. I'm trying to think what to call them. Anyway, yeah. I'm always tempted.
But you're right. But before it was because of a quick pit stop, and you don't do a quick pit stop in vintage racing. So what do we need them for?
We need them because they were there. But I do want to just like take them off and just label them and put them somewhere.
Yeah, well, I guess I haven't really looked at them, but like, is it a complicated thing, or is it, you know, it's bolt in, removal, bolt back in when bolt out, bolt in.
It's just unscrew some air hoses and unscrew a couple of bolts and just put them somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just, it adds like 5 pounds to each corner.
Right. Five pounds you don't need.
Not me. All right. Let me tell you about what we call those things. Air?
I'm seeing air jacks or pneumatic air jacks.
Okay.
On like the car.
On the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
And who invented those?
I'm looking. There's not a ton.
I don't know how to find invented the on-car air jack.
Or what's the first car to use them?
Yeah, that's not available.
It also could be one of these things. It's sort of like the automobile itself. Like you go like, well, Henry Ford's like, no, the German brothers, the Benz brothers, or the... Daimlers were also, it makes sense that human beings are all kind of seeing the same problems and working on the same problems simultaneously.
And there's usually the story with like, oh, so-and-so invented this, but it really didn't make its way to racing or mainstream until somebody like a Brock or a Gurney made it a thing.
Right.
You know, like it's, I'm sure it's one of those type stories, but.
All right. Let me tell you about JB Weld. For big or small projects at home or the garage, you need something that lasts. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives as our sponsor. I love this stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been using JB Weld for a million years, but now they're in epoxy, so they do...
They got everything, super glues and everything.
Yeah, they do everything now. So get some for your kitchen drawer, craft room, and it's good toolbox. Get one for all three. Good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Stuff is great. It's made in the USA for pros or DIYers. They always trust JB Weld. For 50 years, they've been doing this stuff. I met the guy over, God, was it at SEMA? I think I went hung out with the dude
at SEMA
stand.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A box of that stuff shipped over here. And it's like everybody's jumping into it.
He's like, no C-list celebrity's been this interested in adhesives in my long adhesive career. I was like, well, you've met your man.
Your match, buddy.
That's right. JBWeld.com. You can get it at Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone. I mean, O'Reilly's, Walmart, Amazon. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, Max Bata, any...
No, not.
What if you put in Pete Brock, inventor of the air jack, or Dan Gurney,
see if
something
first to use
nothing with Pete Brock. Let me check Gurney.
Oh man, I hope it's not Gurney. Damn it!
Oh no.
Let's put it this way, Max Zapata, the Daytona, the Shelby Daytona did use it, but probably didn't have it on like at the very beginning. You know what I'm saying?
There's something where we're in the story where like maybe they were the first to use it at Le Mans in that, you know, on that car or any particular race or season. I think that's where the hole is.
Cars. You got the GTR.
So I got the GTR. We drove the GTR, the normal one, if there is a normal one, the premium, and it was great. And then we picked up the track edition, which is supposed to have a little bit better tuned, more aggressively tuned suspension, has a carbon fiber deck lid and wing and lightweight wheels. And One of the things that I was talking about the other day was, I don't know, it has the tuned suspension, but it doesn't feel any more aggressive. It feels as just, you know, it's as comfortable or whatever as the normal one. I guess maybe in its R modes or something, it gets more aggressive. But it's just a cool car. Like, I get it's a little dated. You know, the gauges, all everybody's got digital gauges and stuff these days. These don't have it. But you know, I don't know. GTR been out about 10 years now.
And, yeah.
But it's such a cool car. It's so much fun to drive.
I agree. Gray Galding is on Professional Drivers on Line 5. Gray, are you there?
Hey, guys, I'm on here.
Oh, can you hear us okay?
Yes, sir, I can hear you fine.
Thanks for joining us, Gray. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you all for having me, taking time out today.
As you listen to this, tomorrow at the Dover International Speedway, Gray's going to be racing in the Dash for Cash, and you can tune in on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and many other outlets as well. The winner gets $100,000 in cash.
Yeah. I like that.
So Gray, how is Dover? I've never been there. I've never driven there.
Oh man, Dover is a wild track, put it that way. It's a mile racetrack, very high bank, and we'll run about 185 miles an hour around a 1 mile racetrack, which that's some pretty fast speed. So things can definitely happen in a hurry. You know, the straightaways are not very wide, so if there's crashes that you can't avoid, you're probably going to be in it. So I'm excited. Race for $100,000 coming off the second place finish. I'm pretty pumped up about it.
It seems like at a mile and 185 miles an hour, you'd almost constantly just be turning. Is it pretty almost just like when they set those speed records, those endurance speed records out at the Salt Flats, and it's going one big circle for like a mile?
Yeah, like a really high banked kind of ovalish kind of circle. How much of it a straight is there?
Yeah, does it flatten out completely in between?
Oh, no, definitely not. The straightaways are still banked. The entire track is, I think it's got about 27 degrees of banking in each corner, which is, you know, a pretty big amount of banking. I think, you know, I don't know, just Dover, it's been a fun track for me in the past. It's not one of my favorites, but I feel like what we have going into this weekend, what we have on the line, I think we're going to have a great run, and it's just a really cool love it because it's so entertaining, the speed, the banking, and a lot of different pit strategy goes on. So we got three other guys to beat for that $100,000. We're going to do the best we can. I honestly, if it could go to any track, I'm okay with the Dash for Cash going to Dover because I love the short track. And yes, you really don't have much time to breathe on the straightaways because you're running so fast. So it's definitely a grueling track, not only on your mind, but physically. You got to be hydrated and make sure you eat well before because your body's going to need all those extra calories to get through 200 miles at Dover.
Well, what is the prep physically? I mean, you're 21, so you're pretty indestructible. Right. But everyone is looking for an edge now. Yeah. And nutrition, you know, guys used to just go out drinking and whoring all night.
I was going to say, you're 21, so the prep is like a really hard Friday night and a pretty decent Saturday.
But I bet young Gray has a nutritionist and probably knows something. Yeah. He's looking for that edge. Like, back in the day, the prep was, well, I don't smoke in the car.
Right, exactly.
But
I'm definitely a health nut. You know, I make sure, you know, I stay in shape. I got a nice workout regimen, you know, during the week. But, yeah, now that I'm 21, it is nice to go have a couple beers and chill with the boys before, you know, before we get down to business. But, you know, obviously not the night before the race. Obviously I make sure, you know, I try to make sure I get a good night's rest. It's like my thing. I always watch last year's race laying in bed the night before so I can refresh my mind on different pit strategies. What different drivers are saying about the racetrack and just really trying to watch as much film as possible. So to make sure that when I show up to race, I'm on my A game. So Nutrition-wise, you know, I make sure I'm hydrated. I got a, you know, certain couple of supplements that I take to make sure, you know, my body fights off being fatigued because the races are just so long. You're in the car for 3 hours at a time. You know, you're physically and mentally exhausted. You just got to try to find that edge to keep going. So, I don't know, man. I'm pretty easy going when it comes to that. I feel like I have a little bit of the new kind of era driver in me, but also a lot of the old. Like, I'm the guy that says, all right, let's strap in, let's go get the job done, and whatever happens, happens. But another part of me is like, man, you know, I want to make sure I do all the right things so I can get the, you know, the best result.
Yeah, I got to say, from my limited experience driving race cars, you're not physically moving your parts that much, but I sweat right on through my fire suit. Like, yeah, when I get out of the car, you see a big spot on my back and my chest where I just literally went through the fire suit. So you're definitely producing, your mind is definitely working hard, and your body is definitely pushing out the fluids, man.
Yeah, you got adrenaline going the whole time. And when you ran Trans Am and you did a lot more laps than before, you're like, it starts to get physically taxing on it as well.
Yeah.
You know, what's your favorite track? You said that Dover isn't at the top of your list. Do you have a favorite track?
I want to modify it, a favorite road course.
Yeah. Okay. Road course.
Yeah. I would definitely say I grew up racing short tracks, so short tracks has always been basically my go-to. Like, I love the Richmond Raceway, Martinsville, and even the road courses. Like, I can't wait to get to the road courses. Road racing is by far the most fun I have all year, along with, you know, Talladega and Daytona, because it's, you know, it's a crapshoot race where anything can happen at any given second. So, you know, I definitely love the short tracks, but also I've really, over the years, I've really gotten to like, I love going to, like, Charlotte, Vegas. Like, those are cool tracks. But if I could pick one track to go to, you know, every week, I would definitely say either a short track like Richmond or Martinsville, or a road course like Watkins Glen, or even the new Charlotte Roval they just came out with. I haven't ran that yet, but I know I'm going to love it just because how the track is built and everything they did to it.
I love watching the NASCAR guys at Watkins Glen because you just see them turn left, turn right, and I feel like, and you can tell me, Gray, last question for you. NASCAR guys are used to rubbing and running in a pack and really getting into each other. Mm-hmm. The sports car guys do get into each other, but they're not used to a constant getting into each other.
It's not a constant strategy of drafting and aero and
They try to not get into each other. They end up getting into each other, but the NASCAR guys are used to it. So when you take it out to the road course, like Watkins Glen, they're still doing the same thing, but now they're on a road course, and it just makes it super exciting. Would you agree with that, Gray?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, like I said, you know, the road courses, it's always a wild card. You know what I mean? Because you have certain guys that run really well on the ovals and are competing for wins. And then you got another group of guys that run, you know, decent on the ovals. But when they go to the road courses, they're up front fighting for the win. And I feel like, for me, it's a great equalizer to go to the road courses, you know, because, one, I feel like I'm a great road racer. I love when the car is on the ragged edge, left, right, sideways, in the grass. I mean, beating and banging. Like to me, I could do that every weekend. Like, that's right up my alley. So I feel like it's another great chance for us to go to victory lane and be a threat, you know, to win the race. But, you know, it's different for each and every driver. I know some drivers that love going to the road courses, and I know some that absolutely hate every single second of being there, you know, but luckily, I feel like I'm one of the drivers that I don't care what track I go to. I feel like I can always be a threat to win, and it really doesn't take me that long to get used to running, you know, with the best guys out there. So I'm excited. You know, I can't thank Panini and all of our partners enough. We've got a great rest of the schedule coming in for us, you know, with the road courses, the speedways, and we just got a lot of cool tracks coming up, and definitely the road courses are on my list.
I should tell people to check out Gray's trading cards, Panini NASCAR trading cards, available at Target, Walmart, and you can also get it at iCollectPanini.com and the website GrayGalding.com as well. Good luck in the Dash for Cash over at Dover. We'll be watching. That's tomorrow, and hope you come home with that $100,000 stuffed into your fire suit.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you guys for your time, man. Yeah, I'm with you. I hope I can stick all that cash in my fire suit, but we're gonna do the best we can, and hopefully we come out on top.
Thanks, Gray. We'll be watching. All right, let me hit the Zyco, and then we'll move on to many other car-related topics.
Yep.
Heat, the enemy of speed. Zybar, revolutionary, high-temp coating, dissipates heat, increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhausts, turbos, and intakes. Zybar coats the metal surface, and it doesn't allow it to absorb the heat. This stuff is the real deal.
I just spoke to Tim, their CEO, the other day. He's got some great news stories. They've been testing on like drag racing cars on headers. You won't believe the durability and stuff. He's gonna come into the show at some point or call in again and tell us about it. But they're testing the hell out of this stuff. It's good.
Well, heat is such an enemy under that hood. It really just destroys everything. I mean, if you take a look at a F1 car or any kind of super high performance car, 3/4 of it is cooling. It's just radiators everywhere, and intercoolers and aftercoolers and everything.
Think of like NHRA when they're drag racing. You can burn up a set of headers in one run.
Right.
So
heat, let's sidestep it with Zybar. It increases the horsepower and the torque, reduces the metal surface and underhood temperatures, and you can get it at Zycoat.com. Or you just click, you go there and click coating services, Zycoat.com. So what else are we driving, man?
Coming up, I said, was the Ranger. We have a few days in the NSX and then the McLaren 720S Spider. And the 720S was one of my favorite all-time cars to drive. I think it's just one of the best driving supercars you can get. It's fast. It's comfortable. It's really amazing. I did a bunch of stuff in it. We filmed a bunch of stuff with them a long time ago, like a year or so ago. And the Spider is out now, so you're going to be checking that out. It's going to be...
Is that the one I took Sonny for a ride in?
The 720? I think... We had a 720. I think you did. It was like a maroon, almost a black with a little bit of red, just a hint of like a maroon in it.
Yeah, Sonny really enjoyed going up and down the street in that bad boy.
Yeah,
loved the pull of it. We have some thing we talked about on my podcast, which is I got a 1965 Car and Driver Road and Track. I can't remember which
Road and Track.
Road and Track, and we got some interesting prices on some of these cars. You know, because they did a test on Cobras and Alfa Romeo Sprint and stuff, and I always just found it super interesting and timely, because there's a version of this going on all day, every day. Like, you could get an AC Cobra for $6,300. You could get a Corvette for $5,600. But the one that makes me laugh is you could get a 3.8S sedan, a Jag, like a saloon, for $6,300, or you could have got a Cobra for $6,300.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the Cobra is worth $1 million, maybe more.
Yeah,
I would say. And the Jag is worth $30,000.
Right.
So for the same $6,300, or it's also funny. There's so many stories of like guys going like, I wanted the Cobra. I wanted a Porsche 904. I wanted whatever, but I couldn't make the extra $1,500 or $1,800.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got the Alfa Romeo Sprint GT instead for $4,500. So obviously the difference between an Alfa Romeo Sprint GT in 1965 was $4,500 versus $6,300. So for another, you know, $1,800, you could have been in the Cobra.
But you're like, that's 20% more money, or you right? Know, it's like, it's a big jump.
But the Cobra's $1,000,000, and the Alfa is $50,000.
Yeah,
and the Porsche 904, that thing be 1.7, 1.6.
How much was the 904?
904 was $7,400, was like an expensive thing. I mean, this is back when you do, like, if you look at invoices of cars, like back then, and it'd be like extra cigarette lighter for rear seat ashtray, $12.
Yeah.
You know, AM, FM radio, $31. Like a periscopic electric antenna, $11. Like steel belted radios, $41. Like the prices for getting, you know, the options on cars were like, some of the stuff's like ridiculous, like $12 to get something, you know.
And you're like, I'm not going to do it.
Like the tinted glass in the front, $14. And it's like, so when a car was $1,700 more, it kind of seemed like a big chunk. And it was.
Yeah. These days, now when you get like the upgraded stereo in your Porsche 911 or Panamera, it's like $3,800 for the stereo. So flipping through the magazine, the big money car was the Aston Martin DB5, $13,222.
Right.
When you could have got the Cobra for less than half.
Well, imagine if you bought two Cobras. And then you'd just be sitting on $2,000,000. That Aston, the DB5 is, you know, $600,000 today. But yes,
you get a Corvair.
Oh yeah, how much was a Corvair? I didn't Corvair put them all
here. Corvair was $36,27.
Oh well, that'd be worth $40.
If you had
a
guess, the 0 to 60 mile an hour in a Corvair.
Is it like the Turbo S Stinger or whatever?
It's the flat.
I know it's a flat air cooled.
The 155 horse is the one they tested. The little.
It doesn't say turbo on there.
No.
Okay.
No.
So 0 to 60 would be.
Here's a
9187.
Here's a hint. It's two digits before the decimal.
God. All right, 11.3.
All right, it's 11.9. 11.9.
That is so slow.
That's on a flat road. Imagine going up a hill. The Hino is faster than that.
Jesus.
The Hino Transporter.
I'd make more fun of it, but when we were racing at Road Atlanta, the guy beat me in his Corvette. I can't make that much fun of it.
His was not stock. Let me.
It didn't sound stock. Not from behind.
As he passed you.
That's also a crazy driver, too. Like, man, we got to the end of that front straight and he just dove.
There's a fear factor as well. You don't want to damage your car. You're going to let the crazy maniac go. The guy going by in the $30,000 car passing the $700,000 car, you're like, okay, if he's going to do it.
Triumph TR4 was $3,100 and now it's like $31,000.
Yeah.
But you'd look at that Triumph TR4 and you'd go, I can get two of those instead of one AC Cobra.
Yeah.
I'll do an engine swap.
And the Cortina was in the book too.
Yeah,
the race history Cortina, non-racist, the difference between $250,000 and $50,000.
You want to hit
I'll tell you guys about
Geico.
I said about Castrol first, actually.
Oh, Castrol.
Castrol, this is stronger under pressure. You've heard us talk about it before. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. And Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. This is three times stronger.
Three times stronger, fool.
Than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viscrade. The Castrol Edge formula always exceeded the toughest industry standards, but the new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology that makes it transform to be the strongest when pressure is highest. Check out Castrol Edge.
All right. Let's see.
I did a little woodworking this weekend.
Yeah, I saw you mocked up some MDF brackets.
Yeah.
For your supercharger.
For the supercharger. You know, we did a whole front custom, like front engine accessories. Ditched the real small compact AC compressor and eliminated the smog pump because you don't need it with the new modern day exhaust and catalytic converters we have. But it meant we had to custom mount the supercharger on that. And we made some foam templates. We put them all into half inch MDF. And then from there, we'll do aluminum and steel.
But, the MDF is People use it a lot. The thinner stuff, like the half inch stuff, for mocking up stuff. Who knew? Like every speaker box is made. It always bothers me when I see those stupid West Coast custom car shows and they're making like P. Diddy, like a huge speaker box. And I'm like, yo, how much weight can you add to this car?
Yeah.
You're taking this MDF, which is super heavy, and then you're carpeting the MDF. And it's like, right. Oh man.
You're putting a 40 pound woofer in it.
How much weight can you add?
Or four of them.
All right. Hit Geico and we'll bring it home. Gargos is waiting out in the hall. You can't keep that guy. So he does billable hours with me. He gets to this podcast.
Just costs us every time we sit here, it costs
extra
money.
$1,500 every quarter.
Right. Well, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com.
All right, I'll be at the Brea Improv coming up May 17th and 18th. I'll be doing stand-up there, so come on out and say hi in Denver and Portland, and you can check out Not Taco Bell material, my stand-up special. Thank you very much. You can get a chassis, two S's and a Y, and go to Vero, and it's get.vero.co/ace, and check out a new season of Adam Carolla Goes Racing.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. I want to thank Greg Golding for calling in and tell everyone to check out his trading cards as well, Panini NASCAR trading cards. And what do you got? Let's see, Shift and Steer,
Shift and Steer.
iTunes and Podcast One. What else?
And more CarCast. Tune in. If you're not listening to the episodes with Goldberg, you're going to check it out. It's good stuff.
So until next time, Santa Corolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare. And wait a minute, keep the air in the spare. Oh, and the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.